Dynasty Radio, 1382.
Ah, Uncle Jaseneb, life, liberty, prosperity, yet another decree stolen from you and me. The ancestors of the Nile Valley left us other messages too, like, let food be your medicine, and let your medicine be food.
Why is food and drugs under the same administration? They putting drugs in the food to keep money accumulating now. They like to call it additives and preservatives, slowly killing everybody that purchases it. Can you pronounce what's on the back of the label? Then that shit we need to keep off our dinner table now. The food is what's fueling these diseases, paying rich doctors all these medical fees, but they never cure you, they just keep you in need, cut you open for surgery and let your pockets bleed. See, we got away from what we used to eat. We forgot we were kidnapped and forced to eat meat. We ate from the earth, so we communicated with it. We cut the conversation, now check the situation. See, blacks the leaders in heart disease, cancer. We give them money like pills is the answer. Damn, I'd be wrong if I didn't pass the info. Hormones in the food got you thinking like a nympho. Wonder why all these young girls so thick, like a baseball player. Steroids is it. They got it in the vegetables, the fruit, the meat, and all the fast food they be selling in the street. It's a war going on, and our diet must reflect it. We all got the power, we just gotta direct it. Neglect it, never refer to the metal nature that them hoteps, the father of medicine.
Greetings, family. Thanks for joining us again for another edition of Food for Medicine. I am one half of your host, Kenya Jones, and my sister, Dr. Asibi Adiro, is also on the line. Are you there, my sister?
Yep, I'm here. Peace, everyone. Peace, my sister.
Peace. Peace. Greetings. It's good to be on again.
Oh, yeah.
I know last week was another dynamic show. Coconut, which is like one of my favorite. I'm over here trying to hunt me down some young fresh coconuts now.
So
today is going to be another awesome show. And as you know, we always go into the show, we all always ask you, what was your prompt for, what prompted you to do the show today? But before I go into that, what I want to do is I want to go ahead and talk about the topic of the show. And if you can, for our mama, my sister, go ahead and talk about who you are. But before we get into that, who you are. So let me just go ahead and briefly introduce myself for those who might not be familiar with me. My name is Kenya Jones, or Kenya Messaway, and I am a herbalist and nutritionalist. And I also, as well as my sister, believe that food and other natural methods is better for the body than traditional medicine. And sis, if you can go ahead and let them know who you are.
Sure. So welcome, everyone. Everyone who has been with us, been with the Dynasty family, and those of you who are new, welcome. So my name is Dr. Ophelia Adiro. I'm a naturopathic doctor, primary care. I use holistic therapies to balance into the body's self-healing power. Some of my favorite modalities are acupuncture, hydrotherapy, and I love using nutrition and botanical medicine, which is herbs. But like I said, food, using nutrition, that's like my ultimate passion because it's the most yummiest and most common way for us that we should be getting our healthful, the healthful elements in our diet. You know, we should be making our food our medicine. And that's why my sister and I, because we both share that, we've come to bring you this show each and every week. So y'all get ready. I got another
boatload
of information for you, for sure. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm ready as well, my sister. Now, today's topic, before I get into that, let me just go ahead and give you guys the premise of the show. The premise of Food for Medicine is to enlighten African people on how to use food, not just as an alternative to medicine, but to also use it as it was intended by our ancestors. This show is designed to teach you how to eat to live instead of living to eat. Ashe.
Ashe.
Ashe. Today's topic is chlorophyll for daily purification. We will be discussing the importance of chlorophyll, which foods and most optimal way of incorporating them into your diet. So my sister Ed prompted us to do the show today.
Yes. So what prompted me to do the show today was just my own love for chlorophyll-rich foods. For those of you who haven't been, with us that long, I always talk about some kind of green vegetable that I love, and kale is one of my favorites. I'm always promoting more greens in the diet, and I just in my own healing journey and my own daily health and wellness practices, I consume greens on a regular, if not every day. I can confidently say that I consume something green, if not like a pound or two of it each day, because I love greens.
Wow.
And I love how they make me feel. You know, they just make me feel, and I'm sure those of you who do the same already, you know how it makes you feel. So for those people who maybe don't know the power of using chlorophyll-rich foods or incorporating chlorophyll-rich foods into the diet and how healing it can be, I wanted to do this show today in order to just shed some light on that and educate people so that they can make those better decisions when they go shopping on and wanting to choose more of those chlorophyll-rich foods. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Yeah.
And also, I always tell everyone every show to make sure you have your pen and your pad ready because you want to take notes. Dr. Phoebe goes in, y'all. So y'all want to make sure y'all prepare and ready to write down what she's talking about so you can pass that information on to your family. And also, you can go back into the archives and re-listen to the show. And sis always remind me because I forget sometimes that this is a live show. So if you have any questions or concerns or anything you would like to ask, make sure you hit that number one and we will get to your call. So, sis, I'm going to go ahead and get my pen and pad ready and give you the floor and let you do your thing.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Oh, and then just in case somebody doesn't know the number and you need to give the number to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
The number is 646-716-7572. And then, you know, you can tell them to press number one or you can press number one. And then you can listen if you don't want to ask a question, you can just not press anything. So,
right.
All right, we're gonna get right into it. So we're talking about chlorophyll rich foods for daily purification because, like I said, this is a food, you know, or this is a constituent of our food that can be consumed daily, and there's no side effects, no, you know, dosages that we should be following. It's just something that naturally occurs in most leafy greens and, you know, some other stems and parts of plants that we eat all the time. And this is a medicine that is more like a tonic. It's something that we should be consuming daily to tonify our systems. Now, when I do shows like this, I like to kind of set the stage and really help us have like a starting point of what we're dealing with. So I'm going to talk about, it's going to be kind of like we're in class, and I'm going to talk about what chlorophyll is first, because I want everybody to know exactly what chlorophyll is and why it's important to the plant as well as for us. And this is what we're going to start with. So what is chlorophyll? So chlorophyll is basically, it's a molecule. It's a molecule that makes up the pigment of green plants. And these molecules actually trap sunlight for the plants to utilize as energy later. And because of this action of chlorophyll in trapping light, it's actually known as a photoreceptor. Photo, which is similar to like photograph, which means light. And the receptor, of course, is to receive. So it's an organ that receives light. That's what chlorophyll is. And chlorophyll is found in the chloroplast of green plants. Some of you who took biology in school, y'all probably going to have flashbacks right now, because I know that I went through this in my like life sciences class. So if you don't remember, this is going to be a refresher for you, okay? So the chlorophyll is in the chloroplast of green plants. And the chloroplast is basically just like a larger organelle to house all the chlorophyll into these little bundles that if you look at a leaf under a microscope, you'll actually see the little bundles of these, like kind of like almost like a invisible little bubble that's housing little sections of all these little green chlorophyll sacs. So that's where the chlorophyll is in the plant, in the chloroplast. And it's the chlorophyll which is what makes plants green. So when we look at like the basic, to So, again, if you see a leaf under a microscope, you'll be able to see all the little individual green pigment molecules, and each of those is a chlorophyll, and it has that green pigment that we see and notice in those plants. Now, when we look at the basic structure of chlorophyll, of the chlorophyll molecule, it is in the shape of a ring. So all the molecules are situated, all the elements of that molecule are situated into a ring. And that ring is called a porphyrin ring, porphyrin ring. And the way that this porphyrin ring is coordinated, it's a circle, but it also has a center to it, almost like a wheel. It has a, so all these little, these smaller elements are situated around this central atom. And that central atom is going to be a magnesium atom. And something that's very interesting about the structure of chlorophyll also is that it is very similar in structure to the heme molecules that make up our hemoglobin. And hemoglobin is that protein that that makes your red blood cells red. It's the proteins that coat the outside of those cells and cause them to be red. Now, the difference, like I said, in chlorophyll is that in chlorophyll and heme is that chlorophyll, in that center ring of the that molecule, it has a magnesium. The difference is with our blood, the hemoglobin in our blood has an iron molecule in the middle of that molecule. So they're exactly the same structure, both chlorophyll and hemoglobin, but hemoglobin has iron and chlorophyll has magnesium. So if you've ever heard about, you know, people having iron deficiency anemia, people having, you know, to take iron supplementally or getting more iron in the diet, that's the reason that iron is so important in our diet, is because we have, because our blood is literally made up of iron molecules. And you need that iron in place in order for the blood to function properly for us. So that's something that's been studied a lot in different scientific research situations because of that similarity in structure. It's very amazing to a lot of scientists that it's that way. Now, let's talk a little bit more about chlorophyll. The vital function of chlorophyll is the process of photosynthesis. That is what chlorophyll does. That is its purpose. And it is this biological activity in the plant that allows that plant to absorb energy from sunlight. So, you know, within the chloroplast, chlorophyll molecules are situated in a way, in and around the chloroplast. They're situated in a way so that they can each absorb different wavelengths of light. Because remember, you know, the light that we see is made up of, especially sunlight, it's made up of different wavelengths that we can't see. We just see like this white or, you know, we see like a bright light. But there's actually different colors of wavelengths that make up this light that we see. And it is the chlorophyll's job to situate themselves in such a way so they can absorb different wavelengths of light. And there will be different colors as well. And these wavelengths of light are called photons. So like how I said that chlorophyll is a photoreceptor, the photons, which are the light particles, that's what these chlorophyll are catching. They're receiving these photons. And what they're doing with these photons is that they're taking it in, and then later it's going to be converted into a carbohydrate or sugar for the plants to use as energy. So that's photosynthesis in a nutshell. The plant is taking light, turning it into a carbohydrate, a sugar for energy. That's all that I mean, of course, if you go into deeper, if you want to know about all the enzymes and the proteins and mechanisms and all that, the systems that are in each of these plant organelles that make that carbohydrate, you would need to do a little bit more research. But for the purposes of this show, I'm not going to go that deep. But that's photosynthesis. As for the green color of chlorophyll, what actually is happening there is that as a result of those different chlorophyll absorbing mostly, what's mostly absorbed is red wavelength light and blue wavelength light. And when those different chlorophyll molecules are projecting or reflecting their red and blue pigment lights back to us, we see green. So that's why green plants are green, because it's actually the light that's reflecting back from those chlorophyll molecules that have absorbed red and blue lights, which are very high vibration of light, which is why, you know, greens are such a healthful food for us to eat, because you're literally eating that sunlight. You're eating those wavelengths. You're eating that high vibrational energy that the sun that the plant was able to capture from the sun. So isn't that cool? When I learned about it when I was younger, I thought it was cool. Even before I became, like, more health conscious and, you know, even plant-based diet, you know, I always liked greens even after I learned about the process of photosynthesis and that if you eat greens, you're basically eating the sun, I thought that was cool. So especially after I learned that, I was like, oh, man, I got to eat greens on everything. So I would be that kid that would put, like, so a lot of times people don't want any vegetables on their burger because they want to taste the burger and all the condiments and stuff. I said, no, I want you to lay that thing just full of greens. You know, people thought I was crazy. You know what? Don't worry, because I was healthy or I was aspiring to be healthy. So I just wanted to share that piece because that was inspiring to me to eat more greens. So I figured that if people knew, it would be inspiring to them. Now let's talk about the health benefits of chlorophyll, and that's going to be mostly what we're going to talk about is why, and then a lot of the research that is surrounded around chlorophyll and its blood. The activity that it has on our blood especially. So that's going to be what we're talking about first, because in addition to carrying out photosynthesis, you know, like I said, chlorophyll is just a helpful, like a superior superfood nutrient to consume. And there's a lot of evidence-based medical research, for those of you who want to do more research, that has shown that foods rich in chlorophyll can play a role in such actions as blood production, blood purification, as well as in cancer research studies, they've seen that it is a great protective from cancer, as well as radiation, just like kind of radiation that we're exposed to kind of environmentally that people may be more or less susceptible to. And then, like I said, overall, it's a tonic. You know, chlorophyll can be consumed daily, and it has this tonifying effect on the body. So in addition to those more pinpointed health attributes of chlorophyll, it also is just a tonifying agent. It has a great action on the gut for gut health, making the digestive system work more optimally. It has a superb effect on the cardiovascular system. A lot of research suggests a lot that has to do with the similarity of hemoglobin and chlorophyll in their structure. So the cardiovascular system loves chlorophyll. So, and we're going to talk about that. And so how does chlorophyll do these things, you may ask? Like, how is chlorophyll so, you know, blood building and purifying and detoxifying and, you know, anti-inflammatory and all of the above? Well, even though studies have been done on this molecule and they found these helpful benefits to be true, there's a lot that science doesn't know about chlorophyll. So, you know, that's just the wondrousness of nature. You know, we're not going to always have all the answers, or at least not through, you know, Western scientific research. You know, a lot of it is understood by people who are more in tune to just nature as being this, there's more of this energy that supports and allows us to recharge our own energy, you know, just for us being a part of nature. So there are a lot that science, as far as the science in the laboratory, can't explain, but the truth is that it works. So we're going to talk about that now. So let's discuss a few of the healing benefits I mentioned, but let's talk about the research behind them. As far as the blood purification, because that's the one that most people ask me about when they do ask me about chlorophyll, and the one that has a lot of the research around. So as I mentioned, chlorophyll is built around a structure known as the porphyrin ring, which is similar in structure to our hemoglobin, which is the substance in human blood or animal blood, any blood, which carries oxygen from the lungs to the other tissues of the body. That's why hemoglobin is necessary in the blood. That's why when you have anemia, you're tired, you're pale because you don't have oxygen getting to those tissues that you need to. Oxygen's not getting to the brain. That causes fatigue. It causes dizziness. It causes, you know, headaches, all of the above. So this is why hemoglobin is so important for us to have healthy. Now, the only difference with the hemoglobin and the chlorophyll is the iron versus the magnesium center, right? I mentioned that. Now, over the following last 20 years or so that they've been researching, because they've been researching chlorophyll actually for a long time. I want to say even since the 30s, the 20s even, like the late 20s. But over the last 20 years, a lot more research has been done on this kind of a beginning theory of the interconvertibility of hemoglobin and chlorophyll in the body. And what this interconvertibility theory is in research is that chlorophyll can actually turn into hemoglobin in the body. This is a thought that some scientists are still studying, and they've been studying since like the 30s and 40s, or I want to say maybe the 40s and 50s, and now that's one of the many theories behind chlorophyll that is being studied. So there's a belief that chlorophyll can actually become hemoglobin in the body when it's consumed, and that speaks to why it has these blood-building properties. While today many scientists and doctors, the people that believe that theory are kind of in the minority of all the rest of the researchers, whereas today like a lot of scientists don't think that the process is quite that simple, there's no doubt that there's solid evidence of the blood-building characteristics of chlorophyll-rich foods. And studies supporting this, like I said, they date back to like the 30s, 40s, and I actually went back and I read a few. I had to, like, look at some medical journals that, you know, the few that I was able to get a hold of that actually had some chlorophyll studies in there. And I'm going to read a few snippets of those to you right now. Let me pull up my list. Okay, so this study is from 1933. So there's a study done on chlorophyll in the Journal of the American Chemistry Society. And in that study, the results indicated that feeding chlorophyll-rich foods to rats triggered the regeneration of blood cells, okay? Researchers demonstrated that this effect was not due to iron or copper in green foods, but more so because of the presence of the chlorophyll itself. So it wasn't just, you know, a lot of times, and even today, a lot of people think that you know, you need to give more iron and copper for blood cell production to people who are, you know, either anemic or have some other type of issue where they're not producing enough blood. Well, when they introduced the chlorophyll, they saw the same effect or a better effect than when they just added iron or copper alone to their food. This study is in 1934. There was a Dr. P. Rothman in the Journal of Nutrition, and he discovered that porphyrins from chlorophyll, which are those rings, remember, porphyrins from chlorophyll stimulated the synthesis of red blood cells in a variety of animals when fed in small doses. So that's an animal study done, another animal study done, where they showed that action of blood building in chlorophyll. Now, in 1936, also in the American Chemistry Society Journal, there was a study performed involving anemic rabbits. They fed the rabbits several doses and forms of chlorophyll. The doctors found that extremely small doses of purified chlorophyll or large doses of a crude chlorophyll extract produce a very favorable effect on hemoglobin regeneration. The researchers went on to suggest the chlorophyll is acting as a physiological stimulant of the bone marrow and is not really concerned with the actual chemistry of regeneration of the porphyrin. This study shows that chlorophyll found in food or very small purified amounts of chlorophyll may stimulate the synthesis of red blood cells in the bone marrow. And I thought that was a great study. Not only did they just, you know, a lot of times in these laboratory studies, we run into the problem of them using these very concentrated extracts or isolates or, you know, forms of a nutrient that wouldn't occur in nature. you know. And while, you know, having an extract sometimes is cool, we really want to know how, at least the type of practitioner that I am, I want to know how consuming this food is going to affect the body, because I want it to be in the most wholesome form. I feel that nature packages nutrients in a way that makes them more superior and more readily available and in the amounts that they need to be. And, you know, there are things that science can't isolate, you know, as far as how vitamin C or how chlorophyll in the plant will behave versus how it will behave when it's been isolated, you know. So I just feel like nature has, you know, it has more of a science to it than our science. And I think that we should trust nature in, you know, in the way that it's packaged these nutrients more so than us extracting them all the time. Now, extracts have their place. I don't have a big problem with extracts, but I want people to I'm a big promoter of getting the nutrients you need for your food. So I like this particular study the most because they use both the extract and the food, and they found results in both administrations, in both ways of administering that nutrient. And so that's another piece of evidence for people who especially want to know about how it is affecting the body when we just consume it in food. Now, the last study that I have on my list here, it was done in 1936. There's a doctor named Dr. Arthur Patek in the Journal of Biochemistry. And he conducted this study in the Journal of Biochemistry in which 15 human patients with iron deficiency anemia were fed different amounts of chlorophyll along with iron. Iron alone had already been shown to reverse this condition, but Dr. Patek demonstrated that when chlorophyll and iron were given together, the number of red blood cells and the level of blood hemoglobin increased faster than with iron alone. As stated by Dr. Patek, this study may serve to encourage the use of a diet ample in green stuffs and protein foods, for it must be that over a long space of time, favorably nutritious elements are absorbed, which aid the blood reserve and which furnish building stones for the heme pigment necessary to the production to the formation of hemoglobin. So I thought that was awesome as well, because, again, we're using food. They're using it wasn't as clear, but I'm pretty sure that they are they did use food. So this was also a study where they used chlorophyll-rich food in the diet of these anemic patients in addition to giving them the supplemental iron. So, again, they kind of mixed, you know, giving an isolated nutrient and then adding things to the diet. So let's say you're a person that is on an iron supplement and you're suffering from anemia, then, you know, it would behoove you to increase those type of chlorophyll-rich green foods into your diet so that you can even, you know, if you must be on an iron supplement, you can increase the likelihood that your body will absorb them, because studies have shown that when you consume more chlorophyll, iron absorption goes up. And that's one of the other health benefits, is not only that it's blood building, but it also makes more available to your absorption iron and those other nutrients that are needed for blood health. So I thought those were some pretty great studies. And again, if you all have dealing with what I'm talking about today, you can always call in. The number is 646-716-7572, and you can press number 1 if you have a question or a comment. So let's talk about some other ways that chlorophyll is beneficial to the body. So the next thing that I have used chlorophyll for in practice and have found some really good results with it is chlorophyll and improving digestive health. Now, I love chlorophyll, and, you know, I've used chlorophyll extracts if people request it or if they really need it. Like, let's say somebody's very acidic and really needs some, you know, alkalinity. I got tongue-tied, y'all, my bad. It really needs some alkalinizing done in their body. Then I'll use an extract. But for the most part, I'm giving people diet plans that have a lot of chlorophyll-rich foods like greens. But the reason for digestive health is because chlorophyll is very stimulating I don't want to say stimulating. It's not like a laxative, of course. I don't want anybody to be afraid of greens and can go to the bathroom, because there's too many people that are, like, afraid to eat healthy foods because it's going to make them boo-boo. But you should be boo-booing. You should be having bowel movements every day. Don't be afraid to poop, y'all. I mean, if you got to go, let it go. It don't matter where you're at. But chlorophyll stimulates regular movement of the bowels. And, you know, thereby it helps with maintaining and sustaining good gut health. And it also plays a really important role as a natural remedy to any kind of, like, gut inflammation, a lot of these different bowel diseases that we see, you know, Crohn's, IBS, you name it, ulcerative colitis, even just, you know, even like a small intestinal bowel overgrowth, things like that, which I'm going to talk about also. I haven't used it for SIBO. But as far as the inflammatory bowel conditions, those are really benefited by chlorophyll, because chlorophyll has this rejuvenating effect on the tissue. So anything it comes in contact with, because think about it, because chlorophyll is this this molecule that used they're synthesizing of carbohydrates. And, you know, because of that, you know, when you eat greens, you're eating this pure energy. You're eating this kind of regenerative energy. So when you consume it, you can use it if it touches or comes into contact with tissues that need healing, then it will also be able to do that. Not to mention, chlorophyll is, like I said, anti-inflammatory. It's antioxidant. It has, it helps with also absorbing, like, a lot of these oxygen species that we need, because, again, think about plants and what they do in nature. Plants are breathing, or they're really breathing for the earth. So the carbon dioxide that we release and that other animals release, plants take that in, and they, again, if you go into the whole process of photosynthesis, you'll see that you need carbon dioxide as a part of that whole process, and that is what people call plant breathing, when plants take in the carbon dioxide for their biological processes and then put out oxygen. That's plants breathing for us. They're literally breathing for us. And because chlorophyll, not just chlorophyll, but the plant in general has these phytosystems that contain these oxygen creating organelles. When you eat plants that are green, you're eating that oxygen that they either did not release before they were harvested or that they're still containing. So, again, providing oxygen to an area that is wounded, you know, that's helping prevent infection, that's helping to prevent inflammation from starting up, that's helping to prevent, you know, unbeneficial bacteria from overtaking. And this is all in the gut. You know, these are things that we want to prevent in the gut. So this is why eating a chlorophyll-rich diet, if you have digestive disturbances, is so helpful. It can really help with inflammation, with inflammatory bowel diseases. And I've seen it be very helpful. In this case, too, depending on the severity of your bowel disorder, you might want to use an extract. Also, along with your diet having more green foods in it as well. Now, there's some research that I've seen that has been done, and that chlorophyll has been shown to be active in promoting like colon cleansing effects, lowering the effects of cytotoxicity that's brought on by like dietary heme, which is coming from when we're eating animal protein. So if you're somebody also that eats a lot of animal protein, just know that the presence of some of those, especially if you're eating conventional meat, there's a lot of chemicals that are in these animals now, hormones that shouldn't be there, you know, and the fats of these animals are very inflammatory now. So, you know, a lot of that takes a toll on the gut. And so if your diet is consistent of a lot of these foods, especially if they're barbecued, if they're fried, you know, now you're adding into the equation these polycyclic hydrocarbons, which are these burnt burnt and charred foods. Anytime you see something with char, whether it be blackened or barbecue, where you see the lines in it and things like that, crusty, crispy foods that have been fried or baked too long or something like that, those are actually free radicals producing substances. They're free radical producing substances, and they just take a toll on our tissue. So if you're somebody that eats a lot of those kind of foods, fried foods, barbecue foods, blackened foods, or if you're just eating a lot of animal proteins that are very inflammatory, then having more greens along with that actually helps with you not taking on as many of those toxins as you would if you didn't. Another thing that consuming greens does for chlorophyll-rich foods, which are greens, another thing it does for the digestive system is that it actually helps. It's kind of like a digestive, almost like how some like herbs are digestive, like chamomile and anise, fennel. They help with the stomach, things like gas. They help with reducing like bloating and things of that nature because they kind of have this cooling effect on the digestive system. People that have a lot of heartburn, you regurge and things like that, sour stomach, eating more greens can actually prevent that from happening, or if you have a condition where that is happening already, it can help with reducing the symptoms of that and helping to alleviate it. So I definitely love using greens, chlorophyll-rich foods, as a digestive system tonifier for sure. Now, let's talk about the acid and alkalinity. I kind of touched on it a little bit, but absolutely chlorophyll is very useful, and a lot of people know this now, for bringing the acid and alkaline balance back into the body. So a lot of people use the liquid chlorophyll extracts for this, and, you know, liquid chlorophyll extracts are good for helping to alkalinize the body, especially if you get the concentrated forms. They can really be a good way for people to, you know, add it to their water or, you know, add it to something quick and just get it in. And then, of course, along with a diet that also contains these helpful chlorophyll-rich foods, yeah, drinking liquid chlorophyll definitely helps in harmonizing the acid-alkaline balance in the body. And a lot of this has to do with the presence of magnesium in chlorophyll. Magnesium is highly alkaline. So foods that are rich in magnesium, therefore, are very alkaline. And chlorophyll is one of those higher, more, that's one of the best sources of magnesium are these green chlorophyll-rich foods. Believe it or not, magnesium is the nutrient that most Americans are deficient in, period. People talk about calcium. People talk about, vitamin C and zinc and all, you know, this, that, and the third, all these different nutrients, vitamin D even. No, even vitamin D, you know, most people aren't, you know, most people in this country will have a vitamin D deficiency, but everybody in this country, you know, with the exception of a few people who may be very conscious about their diet, but most people in this country have a magnesium deficiency. And when I tell you that magnesium is one of those, is a nutrient that is utilized in pretty much every process in the body, you need magnesium for some of the most important biological processes in your body, especially when it comes to inflammation modulation, like having a healthy inflammatory response, having a healthy immune system, some of the most important things, a healthy elimination system, detoxification system, magnesium is needed by all of those, you know. So when we are deficient in magnesium, we see a lot of the illnesses that come along with overtoxicity, that come along with immune system insufficiency, that come along with even cardiovascular disease. You know, a lot of these, not saying that magnesium deficiency is the only cause for a lot of these conditions, but just know that magnesium is one of those nutrients that is needed all across the board. And some of the smallest things that can be wrong with people when people actually start to incorporate more magnesium to their diet, symptoms get better. I'll actually say this too, musculoskeletal problems especially. Like if you're somebody that has a lot of cramping, that has a lot of stiffness, that has a lot of, even a woman with menstrual cramps, back pain and things like that, even things like some migraines and headaches, anxiety, nervousness. So now we're getting into the nervous system. See how I kind of just flowed into that? Because it's all interconnected. And the reason it's interconnected sometimes is because of mineral deficiencies. And while you need an array of minerals each and every day, magnesium is one of those ones that in nature we need to get in higher amounts. And eating green leafy vegetables or green foods in general that are chlorophyll rich can help to increase the amount of magnesium that we're getting to help fend off some of the symptoms of these nutrient imbalances. And all while you're getting your magnesium up, you're also alkalinizing the body, because the presence of magnesium, like I said, makes the food very alkaline. And it's not going to over-alkalinize you. It's just going to bring you into a balanced state, because you do need to have some acidity in the body. You don't need the body to be overly alkaline either. You know, you don't want over alkalinity. You need a balance. So, and then once you have a healthy acid-alkaline balance in the body, this makes you more ready to deal with anything that comes your way as far as your body is concerned. You know, a body that has a good alkaline to acid ratio or balance can inhibit the development and growth of pathogens. So you're somebody that, you know, is trying to get rid of, if you're somebody that gets sick often, or, you know, you're somebody that always gets the, or has a cough or a flu that just won't go away, maybe you need to try to get your acid alkaline balance in, you know, your acid alkaline into balance. When your body is balanced with its acid and alkaline ratios, it also prevents cardiovascular related problems, because you don't have, you know, any inflammation going on. You don't have any kind of damage going on to the blood vessels. It also enhances the functioning of the kidneys, which happens by default because your kidneys are very sensitive to your blood pressure. So if your cardiovascular system is tonified because of eating chlorophyll-rich foods, your kidneys will also benefit because they are not being stressed out by high blood pressure. So, and then, the whole body benefits from the body being in balance as far as acid and alkaline. The brain, the nervous system benefits, the liver is able to be freed up and detoxify the blood more readily. So just know that chlorophyll can assist you a great deal. If you're somebody that's looking to balance those things out, chlorophyll can absolutely be a great addition to your diet. Now, I kind of talked about how chlorophyll is anti-inflammatory. I mentioned briefly that chlorophyll is antioxidant as well. And this is one of the reasons why chlorophyll is thought of as a superfood, because it is antioxidant. Think about what chlorophyll is in a plant. You know, it's a molecule. It's a pigment. Anytime you see pigments in plants, just know that that's an antioxidant, period. Now, there are different types of pigment molecules. There are red ones. There are blue ones. There are yellow ones, orange ones. Those are beta carotenes or anthocyanidins. Well, chlorophyll is also a pigment molecule that is antioxidant as well. And like I mentioned before, with our antioxidants, remember, anti and oxidant. So it is anti-oxidation. So antioxidants, like chlorophyll, protects our cells from the oxidative damage that is done by free radicals in our environment. And like I said also, that the aging of our cells, the degeneration of our cells, it occurs because of oxidation. So if you want to preserve youth If you want to preserve the usability, the functionality, you know, the vigor and vitality of your body, because your body is just a bunch of tissues, and your tissues are made up of cells. If you want to maintain their youthfulness, you need to consume an antioxidant-rich diet. And part of an antioxidant-rich diet is eating green foods. Absolutely. If you want to be healthful and youthful for a long, long time, eat greens. Eat greens every single day. Deep-colored green foods, because those are going to give you that life-preserving, rich antioxidant profile. So anybody that looks at people I want to say the sister's name correctly. I think her name is Lynette Larkins or Jeanette Larkins. But y'all know who I'm talking about. It's the eldest sister who looks, you know, I think she's like in her 60s or 70s, but she looks like she's 30. You know, she is beautiful, and she's living a live or a raw food vegan, and she's juicing like every day. Like, she showed her regimen on some news channel, and she's drinking a lot of juices, not just green juices, but she drinks a lot of green juices. And I think she did say in another interview that she does drink a green juice at least once every day. And that woman has really preserved her beauty, especially if you've seen the interview that she did when her husband was there too. Like, her husband, you know, they're around the same age, I think. He's not too much older, I think, than her. But if you look at him, somebody who has not, you know, incorporated the diet like she has, he looks the way that you would expect, unfortunately, somebody to look at his age. You know, he's older looking. He looks like he's been through a lot. You know, he's like had a lot of wrinkling, and, you know, he's aged. Not saying that he looks horrible, but compared to her, like, he even said in the interview that people, when they see them together, they think that he got him like a younger woman, like a, you know, a lot younger woman, because they look so different in age. You look at people like Queen Afua, Aris Latham, you know, look at the people who are eating or promoting all of this green eating, green juices. They're able to preserve, you know, you don't know how old these people are. I know that. I don't know how old Queen Afua is, or Aris Latham. I mean, I probably did know. They probably are not hiding their ages, I'm sure. But the fact is, they're ageless, and that's the way that we should age. We should age gracefully. We should age, you know, fabulously. You know, they say black don't crack, right? But guess what? Black does crack if you don't take care of it. And we've seen black crack, especially, you know, if it's bombarded with free radicals. If you smoke, if you drink, if you do drugs, even, and I'm not just talking about like crack or, you know, meth and all the other things that are out there, hardcore drugs. I'm talking about like, well, prescription drugs are hardcore too. So if you're on medications, whether or not you're abusing medications or not, even if you're just taking drugs for maintaining a disease, you are being aged by free radicals. And they have all these different side effects that are because of the damage they're doing to ourselves. So all that to say, antioxidants are the fountain of youth. If you want to maintain youthfulness, eat antioxidants. And green foods that contain chlorophyll are one of the most powerful antioxidants. I would say to start out, you should try drinking a green juice or a green smoothie. That's even better, because you're actually eating the whole plant daily. You know, start your day off with a green juice or a green smoothie. You know, do what you need to do. You can add in spinach. You can add in kale. You can add in broccoli. You can, you know, do what you got to do. But just try to get in something green daily, and you will see a change in your body. I say give yourself 2 weeks. 1 week you might be seeing some changes, but I want to give you 2 weeks to really, like, just feel like, wow. Your skin will glow. Like, your digestion will be better, your eyes will be clearer, you know. You might even have some detox reactions, which won't be as pleasant. They might be a little uncomfortable, but just know that your body is now utilizing this antioxidant, these antioxidants as a way of getting out things it needs to get out. That's, I'm going to get off my soapbox about antioxidants, because people also ask me all the time, like, what are ways that I can, you know, stop this from happening, this degeneration, or how can I prevent cancer? How can I, you know, keep myself looking youthful. I mean, Dr. Phoebe, you look like you're in, you know, you're like you just got out of high school. But I know that you just went through a, you know, you finished all of these programs, so I know you're not, you know, 19. Well, start eating an antioxidant-rich diet, and you will see the difference. You will see it. All right, done on antioxidants. Now let's talk about I talked about gut health, but one thing I wanted to mention too is this candida situation. I have used and practiced chlorophyll by itself, of course, but chlorophyll-rich foods in the diet help with candida infection. So if you're somebody that's trying to get rid of a candida overgrowth situation in your gut, increase the green foods in your diet. Why? Because here's some things about candida that you need to know. Candida is a pathogenic yeast that develops in the gut, and it does not like having its food sources taken away. So it likes for you to eat sugar. You shouldn't eat an abundance of refined sugary foods. It also doesn't like oxygen, okay? So if you add in a lot of oxygen-rich foods or foods that, yes, if you add a lot of foods that are rich in oxygen, they help the body actually producing these peroxide substances in our bodies, and that helps the infection overall. And when we eat more of these foods and we have, like, infections like candida, it helps with eliminating them because we're not only are we increasing foods that, you know, they don't like, but it's also foods that are going to oxygenate the gut and help with it making it not such an inhabitable place for them. And then all along with that, green vegetables, like I said, they stimulate peristalsis of the gut. So while you're killing off candida by doing a proper candida regimen, you're eating, you know, your coconut oil and, you know, you're taking your wormwood or your black walnut or whatever. And you also want to make sure that as you're wounding and killing these yeast, that you're also eliminating them. You don't want just dead yeast all in your gut recirculating their toxins, because these little things, when they die off, when you're taking your anti-candida herbs or on your anti-candida cleanse, you are killing them and they're releasing these toxins because they're pissed. They're like, hey, like you're trying to evict somebody and they don't think they did anything. It's like that tenant that doesn't want to leave and they're not paying their rent, but you got to kick them out. So they're going to cause a fuss. They're that crazy tenant that's going to try to tear up stuff before they leave, so it makes you lose more money and give you more work to do. So what you have to do is you have to check that. And you check that the cytotoxins are the things that make you feel like crap when you're on a candida cleanse. It gives you the headaches and it makes you fatigued. It can make you depressed. It can make you have chills and nauseous. That's what's happening. But you should still go through with your candida cleanse, you know. If things get too severe, you know, of course, listen to your body. But that's going to end once more of those cells have been killed off, more of those candida yeast have been killed off. But a way for you to kind of keep that from happening is by making sure your gut is, your digestion is healthy. You have to make sure you're pooping. Even more so than usual when you're cleansing of the candida infection, because you want to get all of those cytotoxins and the dead yeast out. As long as the dead yeast are in there, they can release those toxins that will make you sick. And something else those cytotoxins do is they make you sick and they make you think that you got to eat, or they make you think that you got to stop, you know, and then go back to things as usual before that yeast infection has been cleansed out. Greens help to not only stimulate the bowel so that they can move your stool through quicker and get those little buggers out of there, but it also it neutralizes the toxicity that is released into the blood from the cytotoxins from those candida, and it can reduce the symptoms of detoxification crisis, because like I said, chlorophyll has this this alkalinizing, oxygenating property. Well, it, you know, in doing that, it does that because it's helping to cleanse the blood. It has this purifying effect on the blood. And not only is it just kind of wasting toxins from things to eat, but it's also toxins that are being released by these candida cells as well. So if you're doing a candida cleanse, then it would behoove you to add in more green vegetables to assist you in those detoxification crises that can happen. And this is any detox also, not just candida cleanses, but if you're doing any kind of cleanse, it would be great for you to add greens. And this is kind of making me go into another note about cleansing with chlorophyll and purification. So if you're doing a cleanse, fruits, if you're adding fruits to your juices or you're just drinking fruit juice or eating just fruits, fruits are very cleansing. They're going to cleanse the body. They're going to move the bowels. They're going to stimulate the release of toxins from the cells. They're going to bring down mucus. They're going to really highly alkalinize the body quickly, you know, especially in their juice form. They're going to give the body readily usable sugar for energy, you know, so the body's going to be jumping. It's going to be moving things. It's going to be shaking things. It's going to be cleansing itself, okay? And this can actually cause too harsh of a cleansing and make a lot of people have effects during their cleanse they don't want. If you're eating or drinking more fruits and fruit juices during your cleanse than vegetables, then you might have breakouts. You might have a nauseous feeling. You may have more severe headaches. You may have, you know, more runny stools and lots of unpleasant detox or cleansing reactions. Now, the way that you kind of quench that or to slow that down, and, you know, you can read this in many different people's programs, like Queen Afua talks about this, Dr. Africa talks about this, Aris Latham talks about this. If you want to slow down that cleansing action that fruits cause, you add in greens, because greens, while fruits are cleansing, greens are detoxifying, and that's different. Detoxifying means that, okay, all of the stuff that's in the blood, okay, I need to come in and neutralize and clean it up. So whereas fruits, they are going in there shaking the rugs and they're pulling things out, they're, you know, causing the mucus to come down. Greens go in and they're actually removing those things from those different tissues. And then they're putting it into the elimination system, the lymph, the stool, so that you can take it out along with their fiber and all of that that helps you to make those nice bulky bowel movements so that you can have, you know, so you can eliminate. So eating greens helps to cut down on those healing crises, like I said, because greens are so detoxifying. So maybe you notice that you're having a very harsh cleansing reaction. If this is happening, try increasing your greens. Try increasing your green juices and eating greens. If you're just eating, you may not be doing a juice cleanse or something like that. Just eat more greens. It doesn't have to be leafy greens. It can be broccoli. It could be cabbage. It could be bok choy. You know, it doesn't have to be just like kale and lettuce. You know, you can have all these other things as well. It could be zucchini, you know, green bell pepper, whatever it is you like. But if it's green, it has chlorophyll, and you should increase it in both instances. The last thing I want to mention about chlorophyll is that it does promote healthy iron levels. I think I kind of mentioned this already, and that was that, you know, chlorophyll, you know, can help increase iron levels in the blood when eaten in conjunction with iron-rich foods. So if you're a meat eater and you're eating, you know, animal proteins for increased iron, you would want to eat your greens, a lot of greens, along with it in order to more adequately absorb iron. But on the other hand, if you're a plant-based diet person and you're eating iron-rich fruits and vegetables, for example, if you're eating like burdock, if you're consuming turnip root, things like that, then you can eat the greens of the turnip as well, because that helps with iron absorption. You can eat burdock with some greens. You know, you can saute it together. You can make it into a juice, whatever it is that you want. And it will help with increasing the iron absorption from these foods. And let's see if there's anything else. Also, if you're eating nuts and seeds, you know, a lot of these nuts and seeds and even legumes, especially like lentils and chickpeas, they're going to have higher amounts of iron in them. You can make sure that you are consuming those foods with greens. You can make your pate, a veggie burger. You can put it in a smoothie if you're eating, if you want something that you can have on the go. And having greens with those foods helps you to absorb the iron, but also other minerals as well, because of the presence of chlorophyll. And again, a lot of this in studies, the reason why that people think this is so is because they really believe that the magnesium of chlorophyll is swapping out with the iron that we're receiving in our foods. And because it's swapping this magnesium out, it allows us to take in more of that iron from our diet. So definitely get up on the green foods. So really quick, I want to mention a few sources of chlorophyll-rich foods that you can find at most of your grocery stores or health food stores. And I'm going to go from not highest to lowest, but the ones that I use and that are my favorites are going to be listed first, which I can really say are all of them. So green and blue-green algae is really, really great. It's a great supplement for those of you who are looking for a boost of chlorophyll and protein and iron and magnesium in your diet. Blue-green algae are excellent. You can usually find those at health food stores. Also, any kind of grasses, wheatgrass, barley grass, oatgrass, any kind of grasses. The grains, you know, those are things that we can actually live without and we don't really nutritionally need. But the grasses, you know, remember, grains are just the seeds of grasses. If you let those grains sprout and become a grass, they are much more healthy for you. They're at a higher vibration. They will give you way more nutritionally, and you get more bang for your buck. So any kind of cereal grasses are great. Also, buckwheat, and you don't have to sprout buckwheat for it to be high in chlorophyll. It actually contains it. So it has a little bit of a green pigment to it as well. But you can also sprout buckwheat and get it into your diet like that. Seed vegetables of any kind are high in chlorophyll. Don't sleep on the sea veggies now, because they are also a green leafy that we can put into our diet that adds some superior nutrition. Along with the chlorophyll, they also have some great trace minerals, proteins, omega-3 fatty acids that are absolutely great for your diet. Any kind of green leafies, kale, spinach, turnip greens, mustard greens, all of those greens, collards, all of these should be consumed every day in some capacity. Spinach, perfect, great sources of leafy green chlorophyll. Asparagus is also considered a green chlorophyll-rich vegetable. Green bell peppers, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, green cabbage, celery, green beans, green peas, leeks, green olives, scallions, which are green onions, parsley, and cilantro, which are extremely detoxifying and mineral-rich herbs to use that we should use in all of our juices and foods. Romaine lettuce, Swiss chard is another leafy green. And, I mean, the list can go on and on, but those are some of my favorites. Now, because we want to seek out more foods in our environment that contain chlorophyll, just know that the deeper the color of the green of the vegetable, the more chlorophyll it's going to have. And if you're somebody that's looking for the best bang for their buck, you're going to get those really deep green veggies, the deep-colored collards, the deep-colored kale. Even the kale with a little bit of red in there is going to give you some extra benefits, because now you're getting the anthocyanins from the red. Those deep green olives, and, I mean, you name it. So I hope that that was informative, y'all. I enjoyed talking about chlorophyll. I love chlorophyll-rich foods, and I hope that you now have a better appreciation for those green foods. Don't be afraid of those green juices, those green smoothies. Don't turn your nose up at it, because that green that is shown, that is reflecting to you, is actually the sunlight that's reflecting to you, and you want to eat the sun, heal you from the inside out. So don't be scared of it, because it will really do your body right. It will preserve your youthfulness. It will help your cells to replenish and regenerate and not degenerate, okay? So I don't know if Kenya is still here with us. Kenya, are you there?
Yes, I am, sis.
Okay, so I'm pretty much done with giving the chlorophyll, the whole chlorophyll discussion, and I hope that all of that was informative to you all. So, but if you have any questions, you can always ask it. You can go on the Facebook page that we have and like us on Facebook, Food is Medicine, or Food for Medicine, and you can ask questions there, or you can email us at dynastynetwork.net, or you can even email me at askdradiro@gmail.com, A, S as in safflower, K, D as in diamond, R, A, D as in diamond, I-R-O, @gmail.com. And that's also near my website, askdradiro.weebly.com. And you can ask me any questions or go on there if you want a consultation. I have an herbal store that's online that you can get some things from there. So definitely check all that out, for sure.
Yes, yes. Awesome show, sis. And for those of you who did not get all of that, you can always go back into the archives and check out that show. I'm ready to get my greens on. That's all I know. Every time you do
it's
the show,
going down.
Yes, I'll be ready. So for those of you who are with us tonight, thanks for joining us, and we will be here. Sis, I don't know what Friday, next Friday, I know that's, that's not the holiday. Oh, never mind. Yeah. So we'll see you next week Friday.
All right. Sounds like a plan.